No, it's a very short one.
This is the regular monthly meeting of Downers Grove Grade School District 58 Board of Education, Monday, August 8th, 2016 at 7 p.m. at the Administrative Service Center. Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Deal?
Here.
Member Heppner?
Here.
Member Lepescu?
Here.
Member Miller?
Here.
Member Purcell? Member Siegel?
Here.
Member Cooper?
Here. First up is a flag salute. We'll stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First up is the non-action reports. We'll be the spotlight on our schools. Dr. Kremaskoli.
Thank you. As the board knows, annually we set our goals for the year, and those goals get reported out on each of our spotlights. We try to cover most of the large goal areas in a spotlight to give the board as well as our community the opportunity to receive an update on each of those goals and also ask questions, give us some feedback. And so we've put together this schedule. Lines up obviously with our board meetings. There are two date changes that I just will continue to make everyone aware of. That's in October and in April to accommodate religious holidays. But otherwise, this is our tentative plan at this point for spotlights. We will take any input if there is any from the board. Otherwise, we'll proceed with these spotlights. Occasionally, we need to adjust the schedule or add to them if there's some other items that we want to be presenting.
Can you just confirm for me, August 22nd, 6 p.m. start?
No,
yes.
It's 6:30.
Okay.
This
Thank
is
you.
A draft. Yeah, I've got to correct that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 6:30 start.
One question. I love the spotlights. I was just thinking about this earlier. Is especially on the curriculum, could we have at least a little one pager of how we're taking care of those that are out of the mean? Because a lot of times obviously most of your kids are right here, and then there's those that accelerate, and we talk about those a lot, and then there's the kids that maybe need a little extra help.
Mm-hmm.
And just especially with the curriculum ones, if we could just kind of, as we're putting these together, kind of keep that in mind of mm-hmm. how we take care of the three broad categories, for lack of a better word.
Absolutely.
Would be helpful.
Absolutely.
Which are not special ed, right?
No, I'm not talking special needs, and we have a whole one dedicated to special education, one that I think we need every year. That one I don't think should ever rotate off, just because those special needs do change every year, where certain math curriculums and certain curriculums don't necessarily change every year, but the needs that we have to take care of sometimes for special needs.
Sure.
So I was talking more like the ones that are like math or language mm-hmm. arts or science or like that, how we capture the maybe outliers both good and need extra help.
Great.
I guess both sides need extra help.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Any other questions? Listed on tonight's agenda are 8 communications received by the board. Are there any additional communications board members would like to share at this time? If not, next up is the superintendent report. Back to you, Carrie.
Thank you. I have a couple of updates for the board. First of all, our principals returned last week on August 1st. We had 2 days of retreat, both Monday and Friday. They were both really productive days, but our principals are exceptionally busy right now, making sure that their buildings are staffed and planning for students returning, and then also planning for our institute days, which will come up very, very soon. We have in many previous years, the last several at least, am I right, Matt? We've hosted the Samurai Camp over the summer, which is a kind of teachers learning from teachers opportunity. And this is the first summer we've partnered with another institution to offer the same sort of camp. So this year's Samurai Camp was at Matia Valley High School on August 5th, and it again was really well attended by our school district, but also by a number of other regional representatives. So it was a really good event from everything I hear. New Teacher Week begins next week, so we'll have all of our new teachers in on August 15th. We start with some welcoming opportunities, but then throughout the week, teachers are brought through all of our curriculum resources. They get a broad overview of the district as well as some time to learn more about their individual schools. They have some time with their mentor teacher as well, so it really turns out to be a really good learning opportunity for our new teachers. Also, just a good opportunity for them to get their feet set before students arrive very soon after that. We also invite second-year teachers to come back. So they come back on the second day of that week, and they continue their learning. So it's an opportunity for them to refine what they've been working on throughout their first year, to learn a little bit more, and for us to provide them with that same kind of support in their as they enter their second year. We have some very exciting news regarding the Hillcrest Playground. If you've been by any time recently, it is finished or near finished. I think the fencing is still up for safety reasons, but also to kind of preserve the excitement for the ribbon cutting, which is coming up. I would invite everyone in our community as well as our board, if you're able to join us. There's an event, kind of the opening ceremony, the ribbon cutting for the playground on August 17th. It will begin at 6 o'clock, and we expect donors to be present. Many of the school community can also be present, as well as maybe some people from outside of the community as well. It really has been quite a collaborative undertaking, and we're really proud of what has resulted. We also have a number of our students and parents participating in summer book clubs this summer. So we have a celebration of their efforts happening on August 18th at 2 o'clock at McCollum Park. This is the second year we've hosted summer book clubs, and it's been really a huge success for all those students who have chosen to participate. So we thank the parents who have helped to lead those, and we'll be celebrating their successes on August 18th. All of our teachers then will return on August 25th. We have our opening day at the Tivoli, which happens every year. Board members, you're certainly welcome to attend if you're able to. Staff will start arriving about 7:30, and then we kick off the event at about 8 o'clock. So if you could, please let Pam know if you're planning to attend. As has occurred in the past, we usually have a couple of moments where a board member gets up and just kind of welcomes our teachers back to work. And so if you would be interested and willing to do that, on behalf of the board, let Pam know, and we'll make sure that that happens too. So then teachers are in that Thursday and Friday, and then students return on that Monday. Class lists for parents who are interested in finding out who their teacher might be, those will be posted, as has kind of become our tradition, on Thursday, August 25th at 4 o'clock. They actually will be emailed out to families, so you will receive an email. Am I saying this right, James? Families will receive an email that will indicate your child and who their teacher will be. So that should come directly to parents' email addresses. Our math committee has continued to make some really great progress over this summer. We have the blueprints. Our kindergarten, first, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade blueprints are pretty well built out at this point. Here in the month of August, we have our first and second grade teacher teams coming in and completing some additional work there. We have our 7th and 8th grade teachers coming in to meet with their principals, as well as our curriculum team on the 17th. And members of the committee also spent some time reviewing various consulting groups to come in and offer some professional development for our teachers. Matt and James, along with several members of our committee, came in and heard those presentations and made some decisions. One of those groups has been recommended, and so you'll see that on tonight's agenda. So we're really excited about those learning opportunities for our teachers. Something you'll hear a little bit about possibly this year, we just wanted to make you aware of it, is the National Assessment of Educational Progress. That's the NAEP testing. They randomly select students across the nation to participate in this testing. This year, in District 58, O'Neill and Herrick 8th graders will be participating in that assessment, along with Hillcrest 4th graders. And Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is it's just random selection. It's a nationally based test, and it is how researchers then compare how the United States does against, say, Switzerland or whomever else they choose to compare student performance with. So it's that national test as opposed to what is otherwise a state test or a I'm sorry, it's an international test, am I right?
NAEP is a national test, but it's normed against the same ones that are done in other countries.
So there's some comparisons that can be made there. We don't have the option to opt out, at least not that we're aware of as a district, but additional information will be going out to families as testing date nears. We'll get more information and we'll share that information with families as it becomes available to us. And then finally, our annual report gets published every summer. Megan has been working very hard on that. It's near final publication at this point and will be distributed not only to our school families, but to families across our community in the next couple of weeks, I think, certainly before school starts. So we're excited about that report as well. And I think that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? Next up is the monthly business. David Bine.
Happy to. Yes.
I got it right.
I'm sorry?
Bine.
Yes, perfectly right. Yeah, thank you. The year has started smoothly in the business office, and Lori and I are busy working on some of the reporting and taking a look at the different reports that the board receives and making sure that we can provide the best information to you. We do have our auditors coming later this month, so they'll be here beginning on the 22nd. I did have a conversation with the partner for the audit firm. And we talked a little bit about the corporate personal property replacement tax. You might recall that recently the state noted that they made a mistake and they gave out too much money, so they want it back. So for us, that was almost $103,000. And in talking with the partner at the audit firm, their preferred approach is to actually make liability in fiscal 16. So I'm anticipating that we'll have an audit adjustment that will reduce the revenue that we had to create that liability. And then as the state actually takes the money back, we'll just relieve the liability over future years. We don't have all the details as to how the state's going to take that money back. But just giving you a heads up that there'll likely be an adjustment down of just over $100,000 in revenue for next year. For last year. The state has also released prorations for funding for this next year. Prorations are relatively flat, although they're down slightly. The big items we received state funding are in the special ed area, so we're anticipating that. Without knowing exactly what the allocations will be, all we know is that the prorations will be down a little bit. So I've given that some consideration in developing the budget. So there are some changes. I know I'm perhaps jumping a little bit ahead. You'll be considering the tentative budget a little later. But I have made some changes to the budget, including reductions in some special ed accounts as well as CPPRT based on more recent estimates that we've gotten in. So there are some differences from what the public heard about and when we solicited input back at the last budget workshop. And we'll have another opportunity to garner more feedback as well later this month at the upcoming budget workshop. Fortunately, we've also got the FAC to provide some information as we go and have reviewed the budget. But we've got all that information together. I'll be happy to talk more about that when we consider the budget later. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for David?
How much do they still owe us? Because I love the way they always say, oh, our appropriations are the same or better than last year, but if you don't actually pay it, it's not the same. It's like, I don't know, too many people that get IOUs for being paid, but so last call it was $800,000 they still owe us.
And that's, there have not been any material new payments that have come through from the fourth categorical payment from last year. I'm still anticipating that we may get those relatively soon, but the state's behind one categorical payment. So all those categorical payments come in four chunks throughout the year. So we're perpetually, the last few years, behind one payment, although going back 3 or 4 years, it was two payments. So right now we're behind one, so I'm anticipating this year that we will get one late payment along with three payments for this year. So we'll end up with four full payments this year, but we'll still end up probably the end of this year, behind once again that same about that same amount, depending on what they actually allocate.
So we're just constantly short.
That's correct.
Is what we are.
Yeah, and if the state catches up, what would happen is we would get a basically one-time benefit into fund balance from their late payments. which is just the opposite of what happened when we go back about 5 years or so when the state started to become late. That's where they missed a payment and then missed a second payment, and we were just behind in the amount of money that we received. We would have used fund balances to offset the shortfall, and then the state slowly caught up on one, and eventually they'll catch up on the other and we'll be back where we're supposed to, presumably.
So when they pay us too much and we owe them money, they want it now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make that clear because I'm not sure the public kind of understands that all the time, and I think we all need to understand that when our Springfield legislators are bragging about how well they did to fund schools, it doesn't mean anything. If my boss says I'm going to give you, you know, a $10,000 raise, but actually never gives me the money, I never got a raise. So.
Well, and I think the prorations I mentioned earlier are a great illustration of that. The state has indicated, here's how much money you are entitled to, but we don't have enough, so we're only going to pay you 74% of that amount.
Right.
So.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thanks.
There are no other questions. Policy committee did not meet in July. The legislative committee did not meet in July. Financial advisory committee did not meet. We have no discussion items this month. So that brings us to the first reception of visitors. During the first reception of visitors, comments must pertain to agenda items. This is an opportunity for members of the audience to share comments with the board, subject to reasonable constraints, but is not intended to be a time for members of the public to enter into a dialogue with the board. Issues raised during public participation may be added to future agendas or addressed by administrative staff as appropriate. Criticism of individuals is not in order. In accordance with board policies 8022 and 1150, individuals appearing before the board are expected to follow these guidelines. Any person addressing the board shall identify yourself, state your school attendance area, and shall speak as briefly as possible. The board president has authority to determine procedural matters regarding public participation not otherwise in the board policy, including time limitations when appropriate. The president is responsible for the orderly conduct of the meeting and shall rule on such matters as the time allowed for public discussion and the appropriateness of remarks to this subject under consideration. At this time, if anyone would like to speak, please stand, state your name and attendance area. Okay. Next up is the approval of minutes. Are there any suggested revisions to the minutes as presented in the packet of materials? If not, is there a motion to approve the minutes of the July 11, 2016 meeting as presented?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion. Any opposed? Motion is carried to approve the minutes of July 11, 2016 meeting as presented. Next is the approval of the consent agenda. Are there any items a board member would like to have considered separately? If not, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda consisting of the personnel report and financial statements consisting of the list of bills and summary as presented in the packet of materials?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Hepner?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried. The consent agenda has been approved as presented in the packet of materials. Next up is recommendations for action. The proposed tentative budget for 2016-2017 calendar year, approval of the tentative budget recommended by the Assistant Superintendent for Business. Is there a motion to approve the tentative budget for fiscal year 2016-2017 as presented and make it available for public inspection at the ASC office, local libraries, and on the District 58 website?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just thought since we had a couple of extra guests here tonight, it might be helpful just to point out, just maybe to have David explain it, but the budget is generally balanced for the upcoming school year, right?
Okay. That's correct.
And then, obviously, our expenditures are slightly exceeding our revenues.
That's correct.
Obviously, we're a little bit short from the state every year. Mm-hmm. And then, our fund balances for the year are going to go down slightly over the course of the year. But we're still maintaining those parameters that our policy dictates they want us to maintain as a school board.
Yes, and the budget numbers are a little bit different than what was put forward at the last budget workshop. But relatively speaking, it's very, very close to where it was, including the amount of deficit is materially different. The challenge that we always have is predicting some of our revenue, which is hard, as we talked about with the state. So we use the best information that we have, and we may gain more information between now and when you consider the final budget. So when we get to the final budget, I'll have used any new information I've received, anything that has come out of the budget workshop, to be able to fold that into a set of final recommended numbers for you to consider for the final adopted budget. And there's a possibility that we may have revenues up or down, or expenses up or down. Actually, I know one change that we'll have in there, which is actually the receipt of a $13,000 donation of $1,000 per school for buildings to be able to use from Bonfield Foundation. So there'll actually be, at a minimum, a $13,000 increase in revenue and a $13,000 corresponding increase in expense that I'll be budgeting for those. And I'll be able to apprise you of any other material changes that we would have at the time of the final budget adoption.
David, thank you for joining us.
But the big thing is it's both revenue and expenses are lower than what our original budget workshop was. So, okay. So those decisions we made to reduce expenses, we've had to make more decisions to reduce expenses.
That's correct.
Do you think we'll have visibility into what the proration will be, or any more, by the time we meet on the 22nd, or do you think it's going to be?
So we know the proration amounts, but we don't have the allocation amounts yet. And I'm hopeful, but I'm not counting on it. And it's similar to working on some of our budgets, some of our grants, where we know in some cases now what the new year grant allocation is, and then what we're working on is either refining that or figuring out what our grant total is relative to any carryover from funds from the prior year that might be moving forward. So I've tried to include that to the best of our knowledge right now, but it is hard when you go onto the state website to try and pull out, okay, let me look and see what our revenue is now that our year has started, what I'm expecting, and everything that shows up is zeros because the state hasn't quite gotten that together yet. So what we do is the best that we can, and then we make some adjustments on the fly. And this would be the exact same process that Mr. Popernick would have gone through in past years. We're sitting right now in August or in July, when typically you would be seeing the tentative budget. We really don't know exactly what those numbers will look like. So we try to put in our best numbers. And at the end of the day, the budget is a spending plan. So it's what we're anticipating will happen. And then we try to work within that. And sometimes we're a little under on one item and we're a little bit over on the other, and it sort of works itself out, and we end up pretty close. And I think here in District 58, we've had a lot of success at coming in pretty close as to where we are, and I'm hoping to continue that.
Great. Thank you.
Now, would you please call roll?
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Hepner?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to approve the tentative budget for fiscal year 2016-2017 as presented and make it available for public inspection. Next is the proposed tentative budget for 2016-2017. Establish a date for budget hearing recommended by the Assistant Superintendent for Business. Is there a motion to establish the date for the budget hearing on Monday, September 12th? 2016 at 7 p.m. at the Longfellow Center.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Hepner?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to establish the date for the budget hearing on Monday, September 12, 2016. Strategic Goals Action Plan 2016-2017, recommended by the Superintendent. Is there a motion to adopt the 2016-2017 Strategic Goals Action Plan as listed in the agenda materials?
Second.
Any discussion?
Just going to confirm, this is the draft that we saw that reflected all the changes that we've already talked about.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, and again, thanks to the members of the board who provided some input regarding revisions and suggested reviews. Those were incorporated, sent out in the board. board had the opportunity to review those again. So we are very pleased to present our goals for this year. We've reviewed these with our principals during our retreat last week, and look forward, once it's approved, to sharing these goals with our staff as well on those first two institute days.
Yes. Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Hepner?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to approve the 2016-2017 Strategic Goals Action Plan. Next is contract approval, math professional development, recommended by the Assistant Superintendent for Curriculum. Is there a motion to approve engaging in a contract with the Metro Chicago Math Initiative for the purpose of providing Downers Grove Grade School District 58 teachers of mathematics, professional development, and best practices of instruction, depth of learning in mathematics, for a total cost of $48,000. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion?
Matt, I think you said that the math committee actually had some input in the decision-making process.
Members of the math planning committee had the opportunity to come in and meet with the consultant groups that we had to interview with. The process was James and I first did some searching out there, identified several groups, interviewed some of them, and then brought two groups to the planning committee. Those were available to review and hear presentations and ask questions. And one of our representatives here in the room, Linda Manicora, was able to be part of that. She knew I would call on her at some point. And really, there's strong consensus that this was the direction the planning committee felt that we wanted to go. And we're excited about the opportunity.
I'm glad to hear about that collaboration. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I wanted to hear, too. Good question.
On the right group for the job. So
both ladies were very good, wonderful. The second lady really had us booked. And that was from the committee that Matt picked and brought to you.
Good.
And
thank you.
And this also falls under the umbrella of the professional development that the committee was saying that they wanted, and that we had all agreed was
this is exactly that piece. And in fact, the planning committee identified the guidelines for what they were looking for. Then James and I went out and researched who could provide those things, and we wanted to look at groups that would not just, if we needed to go beyond this year, that we were capable of going on beyond this year with. We even had people Google Hangout into the conversation from out of state to be part of the presentations and really have a chance to ask questions.
Great.
And I think Linda really said it correctly when she said this is the one that really hooked the team.
Great. Thank you.
Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Hepner?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to approve the contract between District 58 and Metro Chicago Math Initiative for the purpose of providing District 58 math teachers professional development. Next up is the serious hazardous recommendations recommended by Director of Business Services. Is there a motion to designate the areas listed below as hazardous for 2016-2017, which makes students who reside within the designated areas eligible for fee-based transportation services, even though they live within 1 mile and a half, the 1 mile and a half limit for K through 8. El Sierra attendance area east of Fairview Avenue, Fairmount attendance area east of Fairview Avenue, Henry Puffer attendance area south of the railroad tracks, and cross street from S Curve to Haddo Avenue, Highland attendance area north of 39th Street and east of Fairview Avenue, Hillcrest attendance area north of 55th Street, Indian Trail attendance area, Belmont Avenue from 60th Street south to 63rd Street, Woodward Avenue from 55th Street to 5912 South Woodward, Pershing Avenue from 55th Street to 59th Street, south of 63rd Street and 5900 and 5901 Pershing Avenue, Herrick attendance area north of Ogden Avenue and south of the railroad tracks, O'Neill attendance area south of 63rd Street and west of Main Street, St. Joseph's attendance area north of Ogden Avenue and south of the railroad tracks, St. Mary of Gaston attendance area north of Ogden Avenue and south of the railroad tracks. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Heppner?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to designate serious hazardous areas for the 2016-2017 school year. Plate lunch fee recommended by the Director of Business Services. Is there a motion to set the 2016-2017 plate lunch fee for students at $2.60?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Heppner?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to set the 2016-2017 plate lunch fee for students at $2.60. Resolutions of association or organization, Community Bank of Downers Grove, recommended by the Assistant Superintendent for Business. Is there a motion to adopt the resolutions of association or organization of Community Bank of Downers Grove as a depository of Downers Grove Grade School District 58 and authorizing the appropriate signatures?
Second.
Any discussion? Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Heppner?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to adopt the resolutions of association or organization of Community Bank of Downers Grove. Next up is the second reception of visitors. During second reception of visitors, comments may relate to any agenda or non-agenda items. Same guidelines apply during the first reception of visitors. Please stand, state your name and attendance area.
It wouldn't be a board meeting if I didn't speak. Good evening. My name is Kylie Spahn. I'm a parent of a student going into eighth grade at Herrick. My youngest daughter is no longer in District 58. I've moved her to a private local school. I would like to address the board about the current state of the middle school math program in District 58. Here is my family's background. When my daughter was in sixth grade, she participated in the pilot program for the state standards-based reporting and differentiated learning for math. As part of the program, she was accelerated through Common Core 7 as a sixth grader. I was assured by several people that she would not repeat this curriculum when she entered Herrick as a seventh grader. She was placed in the Math A program. Last year, she did in fact repeat the math curriculum. Thankfully, as an education advocate, I was on top of this situation. My daughter's math team, as I like to call it, included myself, my daughter's teacher, which was Mrs. Frank, and my daughter Jessica. Miss Frank, who by the way is an incredibly gifted and passionate math teacher, I just love her, I think she's wonderful. Miss Frank implemented a system for Jessica where she would be given a unit review during one math period, then Miss Frank would administer the post-unit exam. If she tested above the 90% level, which she did every single time, there was only one post-unit test that she got a 95% on, everything else was 100, she would be given accelerated work. As a result, Jessica completed portions of the 8th grade Common Core 8 curriculum, and as well as some of the Math 1 curriculum. This will not serve her well this school year because, again, she will be repeating curriculum that she has mastered according to the Common Core State Standards. I have read the report by Dr. Rich and Mr. Eschmiller titled An Analysis of Placement of Accelerated 7th Grade Math Students for the 2016-2017 School Year. I trust that all the board members have read this report. The recommendations listed in the report include the following, and I quote, Accelerated 7th grade students should be placed in classes based on their eligibility for Math A, as well as in consideration of their level of content exposure to support teachers in differentiating to meet the student needs. Accelerated 7th grade students should be given the opportunity to learn, review, and deeply master the math content they are capable of learning without skipping concepts, including but not limited to at least 7th and 8th grade math concepts. All accelerated 7th grade students should be given the opportunity to pre-assess and learn differentiated content in an engaging manner in their math classes. Now, this is all warm, fuzzy, and lovely, but it is not anything new. This is what Miss Frank was doing with my daughter, using her own resources to differentiate and deepen Jessica's math mastery. The report's recommendation of accelerating incoming seventh graders to include, but not limited to, eighth grade math concepts leads us to the current problem that my daughter has. What happens to 8th grade Math B students who tap out in 8th grade because they mastered Math B concepts as 7th graders? To answer this question, I turned to District 99 to see if Jessica could take Math 1 as summer school and then take Math 2 at Downers Grove North as an 8th grader. I've had many conversations with representatives of District 99. They understand my frustration. District 99, as owners of the Math 1 and Math 2 curriculum, and through the joint agreement with District 58, will only allow District 58 students to accelerate through Math 1, the one exception being for the 2 to 8 elite math students district-wide who are permitted to attend Math 2 classes at Downers Grove North and South High Schools as 8th graders, and only because those elite students were instructed in Math B as 7th graders. District 99 will not allow District 58 to teach Math 2. They will not allow 8th grade students to accelerate through summer school into the Math 2 program. This is not just an incoming 7th grade problem. I feel that District 58 has done a great disservice to our gifted 8th grade math students who will tap out halfway through the school year. This will be a compounded problem next year as more Math A students are accelerated in the 7th grade. Come 8th grade, there is nowhere for them to proceed forward. Which leads me to ask the board the following questions based on the report's recommendations. What will the board and your administrators do to support teachers to differentiate and deepen a student's math mastery? Will you purchase additional support curriculum? Will you provide deeper curriculum or teachers have to resort to students watching a Khan Academy video and taking a quiz? How will you support our teachers who will in turn support our accelerated math students? Does your administration have a plan of action with enriched curriculum in place to support teachers and students this school year? If not, then why? How will our accelerated 8th grade math students be supported so that they do not have learning frustration or boredom due to repeating curriculum and classwork? Will the district provide comprehensive teacher training and development to support our accelerated learners? While it is too late for my daughter, this is her last year in 58, I hope that the district will implement a plan of action and not just lovely, fluffy recommendations that sound great on paper but have no substance or support when implemented into a live classroom. I also hope that parents of incoming 7th grade accelerated math students will take note of what is going on and start voicing their concerns. Thank you.
Seeing no other visitors, we have some announcements. Monday, August 22nd is the budget workshop, which has been moved up to 6:30 p.m. at the Longfellow Center. Monday, September 12th is the next regular board meeting and budget hearing. That will be at 7 p.m. at the Longfellow Center. Tuesday, September 20th is the next policy committee meeting. It will be at 7 a.m. here at the ISC. The board will now meet in closed session. Is there a motion to move to closed session to discuss the employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district, collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, discussion of minutes of meetings lawfully closed under the Open Meetings Act, whether for the purpose of approval by the body of the minutes or semiannual review of the minutes as mandated by Section 2.06. Is there a motion?
Second.
Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Hepner?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Siegel?
Aye.
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried. The board will now move into a closed session after a short recess.